The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Trinity is written in 1 Kings chapter 19. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him.' So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?' And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fifth chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be a fisher of men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pride. Pride is clearly displayed by Peter when Jesus has the gall to step up to those who had just got done fishing all night and make a suggestion that they try fishing differently than what they are used to. Peter reveals his pride when he says to Jesus, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing." Peter, the fisherman, the businessman, the laborer, the one who is wise in the ways of the world, at first pushes back against the word of this preaching Christ. It is as though Peter is telling the Lord, "You don't understand how the world works. I do. I know my business better than you do. I am wise in the ways of the world, and you know nothing." What a suggestion. Cast the nets now. But in spite of Peter's reliance upon his own toil, knowledge and experience, and worldly wisdom, a small part of him submits to the Lord, who is, of course, the creator of the world. Something not of his flesh and blood has indeed overcome Peter when Jesus speaks. Peter reveals where faith is created when, after Jesus speaks his word, Peter is brought to say, "But at your word." And what of you? You have with you a great resistance against God. You were born with it. That old Adam, that old man, along with the world and the devil, whisper to you, telling you that you should depend on your own toil, your own good intentions, your own preparations and plans. Fleshly reason entices you to think prideful thoughts, taunting you to doubt God and trust in the seeming wise ways of the world, or the seeming wise ways of self, pushing back the word of the Lord, just like Peter at first, bringing that old man in you to pridefully tell God, "How dare you come along and tell me how I am to do things according to your will, according to your commands and statutes? Look what everyone else is doing. Why can't I join in?" Without having to weigh whether it meets your standards, Do I really have to rely upon you all the time? How dare you come along and remind me of how holy you are, and how I have nothing to offer you except sin. Can't you just leave me alone, Lord? As Luther said, the Lord's gift of reason is used by the devil and sinful flesh in the most seductive of ways, ever placing self-justifying thoughts in you in the vain attempt to get God out of the picture and to catapult you as wise enough apart from God's word. Fleshly reason would never consent to God's blessed means of grace doing what his word says that they do. Word, water, bread and wine, the free gift of forgiveness without any toiling needing to be added. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing, just as demonstrated by Peter, because of the powerful word of the Lord. Do not be afraid. As the devil, the world, and even your flesh are inclined to contend, push back, and protest against the word of the Lord, you, the church, Christ's body of believers, by God's grace alone, are thankfully overcome by the word of the Lord and say, along with Peter, but at your word, I will let down the nets. For in the net of the gospel, in the net of the sacrament of holy baptism, in the net of the word of the word of God, countless people have been caught from every time and every place, born again, created anew, declared holy and righteous by faith alone, worthy to stand in the presence of God, saved from sin, death, hell, and the devil, rescued from the skewed and distorted wisdom of this fallen world, marked with the sign of the holy cross of Christ crucified, sealed with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and given the very promises of everlasting life, right from the lips of Jesus himself. God's grace has brought the church to let down her nets again and again, dear friends. And because of God's powerful, effective word that does what it says, disciples have been made. By your own toil, you add nothing. By your own reason, you gain nothing. By your own strength, you hold nothing. But at God's word, by God's command, through God's promise, the church contains fishers of men and dispensers of the mystery of eternal life. By God's grace alone, you are caught for Christ's sake through God-created faith alone, by his doing, by his actions for you, that you would gain everything. The gospel text continues, "And when they had done this, meaning when they had listened to the word of the Lord, when the word overcame them and they lowered the nets, when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that is how the church grows. By God's working through his means of grace, his word and sacraments. She does not grow by your own toil, by your own clever marketing techniques, your technology, your praise bands, your ability to tickle the ears of the listeners with an entertaining message that they want to hear. The church does not grow by the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning. But the church's methods, that is, the means that God has given to the church to work with, are folly to those who are perishing. Proclaiming God's word, speaking holy absolution, administering the sacrament of holy baptism and the sacrament of the altar, these are all indeed foolishness to those who are dying. But to you who are being saved, they are the power of God. For the message of the cross, that is, Christ crucified, is delivered to you by these means of word and sacrament. And you, dear friends, you are caught up in all of those saving means, caught up in Christ, forgiven through his atoning merits. Thanks be to God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The world demands signs and wonders. The world demands rational answers and wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The world scoffs at God's word and would rather rely on its own wisdom. Your own sinful flesh pushes back against God's word and would rather rely on its own toil. Thanks be to God that he overcomes your flesh and brings you to live by faith and not by sight. Thanks be to God that amidst your own unbelief, God's word and sacraments keep you in the one true faith, focused on the author and perfecter of faith. Thanks be to God that through his word and sacraments continuing to be delivered to you, he brings you to continue to say, "But at your word, O Lord." For at his word, the sinner is revealed through his law, and you are brought to your knees just as Peter before the Lord. At his word, you are told to not be afraid, because through his gospel, you are forgiven. As his law makes you sinners, his gospel aims to make you saints, his holy people. At his word, the dead are brought back to life. The guilty are declared innocent by faith alone. At his word, you are brought to confess the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. At his word, you confess that you cannot, by your own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel, enlightened you with his gifts, sanctified and kept you in the true faith. And in the same way, that is, through his holy word proclaimed purely and his sacraments rightly administered, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth through those means of grace, keeping it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Dear friends, rejoice anew at God's word. Baptismal waters do indeed cover you. His works, not yours, speak gladness to your hearts. Just as Jesus' word led Peter and his cohorts to their amazing catch, so shall Jesus' word continue as you are brought to rely on him through his word and sacraments. Jesus, lead thou on, indeed, for in his word is truth, is power, is wisdom that puts to shame the wisdom of the world. And even though the world may scoff, may scowl, may mock, may persecute, may deny, or may seek to silence the preaching of Christ crucified, you join with the prophets and the apostles. You join with all of those who have confessed the prophetic and apostolic faith for generations, with all of those who have repented, believed, and been baptized. May God alone be wise. Lord, at your word, keep your own, dying and rising, and declared righteous through faith alone in Christ's atoning merits. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.